to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for March 24th, 2024, Palm Sunday, by Reverend Eric Williams.
As many times as we hear this story, and we do this every Palm Sunday, every Passion Sunday, we retell the Passion story of Christ from the different Gospels. This Good Friday, we're going to read through all four of the Passion accounts from all four Gospels. And the reason we tell this story over and over is because it is the great drama of our salvation. And as many times as I have heard it, I always find something new. Always. This year, what really stood out to me was the word preparation. Many of these events happened on the day of preparation, the day when faithful Jews were preparing for the Passover, getting all the elements together for their Passover feast, preparing the rooms and so forth. And in our Palm Gospel in the other room, we heard of Jesus' preparations for that. He had thought through what to do. There was a colt. He told the disciples, go into the city, you'll find a colt that has never been ridden, untie it and bring it to me for the procession. Later on, he told them, you'll meet a guy who's carrying water and he'll show you the room where we're going to have our Passover meal, the site of the Last Supper. Jesus was preparing himself for this tragedy, for this great work of his self-sacrifice. He prepared also with prayer, his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane when he struggled and asked that if there were some other way, any other way that God would show it to him, any other way to accomplish this work without having to go through the horror that he was about to go through. And yet he was prepared to do what it took, to walk through the betrayal, the arrest, the beatings, the mockery. And it's interesting, almost every character in the story finds time to mock Jesus at his lowest. There were many others preparing for this day also. In addition to faithful Jews preparing for the Passover, the chief priests and scribes had been preparing to get Jesus. They saw him as their public enemy number one. They were offended by his preaching. They were jealous of his popularity, and they were looking for any means necessary to bring him down. Finally, the opportunity presented itself when Judas, one of Jesus' closest friends, one of the 12, agreed to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, we don't know his motivation, but we do know that this was the bitterest, probably, of all the betrayals that Jesus experienced. Bitterer than when his disciples ran away, bitterer when the people who had flocked to him for 3 years, hanging on his every word, waiting for his miracles, experiencing his healing, not one of them was willing to stand with him when he was arrested and when he was tried and when he was executed. In this version, the women stand far off, watching these events and grieving. The soldiers, too, had been prepared. They knew how to handle this. The Romans were very good at public executions, and the soldiers knew that the first step was to dehumanize the prisoner, to beat him and mock him until he was really softened up for the execution itself. And so they did their work with typical Roman efficiency. They knew what to do and they carried it out. They were prepared to do this bloody work, and they did it well. This word preparation, it's what our Lent has been about. It's really what our whole Christian journey is about, preparing ourselves to be part of God's kingdom a kingdom of peace and love and justice, a kingdom which still in 2024 is so far from the kingdom of this world, a world in which we still experience injustice, brutality, warfare, and dehumanization of all kinds, a world in which we experience loss and grief and tragedy in our own lives, and we wonder, how can we prepare ourselves? How can we follow Jesus on this road to the cross? How can we be prepared to go through the many, you might say, crucifixions that are part of our own journey and our own walk in faith? St. Paul, I think, gives us a beautiful answer. In the letter to the Philippians, he shares with them a hymn, probably a hymn that was sung or said in the earliest Christian gatherings. And it starts like this: "Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Be like Jesus. Remember the old ad, "Be like Mike, the basketball star"? This is, be like Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count his equality with God as something to be exploited. Remember, Jesus at any moment could have called upon legions of angels to wipe out the soldiers, to wipe out the chief priests and scribes. He could have been a military leader. He could have gotten the crowd all riled up for violence and the violent overthrow of Herod and Pilate and Rome. But he did not do that. He did not count equality with God, power, as something to be exploited, but instead chose the path of vulnerability. He emptied himself, taking the form not of a soldier or of a king, but of a slave. And being found in human, vulnerable, weak fashion, he allowed himself to be abused, to be victimized, to be brutalized, and to be executed. Because Jesus knew that only through vulnerability could he accomplish the great work of salvation that God intended. People's hearts and minds were not going to be changed by yet another military dictator. Hearts and minds were not going to be changed by an exercise of power or wrath or vengeance or retribution, but instead by an act of such self-emptying love, such vulnerability, such a willingness to love. Richard Rohr, I believe, I may have this quote wrong, but Richard Rohr has said that the only way to really experience love is through vulnerability. We cannot love one another with pride, with ego, with arrogance, with power. We can only love through vulnerability, by allowing ourselves to disarm. When Jesus marched into Jerusalem, he did not come at the head of a military army. He did not come with weapons. He unilaterally disarmed. He came into the viper's nest with nothing but himself and his love for God and his love for others. His love, which was even expressed, I believe, to those who were torturing him, abusing him, and ultimately murdering him. And it was that vulnerability and that love which transformed the world forever. So as we prepare again to walk through these events of Holy Week, and I invite you, as you're able, to come to the liturgies which kind of help us to process this whole story again, Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then ultimately Easter. As we prepare ourselves for Holy Week, but also preparing ourselves for our Christian journey, I invite us to meditate this week on what it means for us to be vulnerable with one another. What does it mean for us to let down our armor, to stop responding with fear and anger and hatred, despite what the world does all the time, every day, how might we practice the kind of vulnerable love that Jesus showed us, that Jesus calls us to, and that Jesus knows is the only path to true transformation? How can we prepare ourselves as Jesus was prepared to go through this life without taking vengeance, without responding to violence with violence, to anger with anger, but only with vulnerability and love? May that be our journey this Holy Week, and through it, may our lives be transformed into the shining lights that God intends for us to be, the way that this world, person by person, moment by moment, might eventually become more and more like the kingdom of God that God intends. Amen.